And to those who are visiting with us, I want you to know that we are pleased and we are honored that you've come to be a part of our service this morning. It is my hope and my prayer that you will be benefited spiritually by your time here. I think you will if you apply yourself, if you apply your mind and your heart to the things that we are doing. As always, I want to remind you that you have a responsibility to know God's truth. And you're going to be held accountable for the things that you believe in, the way that you live your life. And so you need to study and make sure that your faith is based on God's Word. I'm having allergy troubles. It seems like every time, every year about this time, I seem to get one of those bouts. As cedar ends, it seems like that's the time when I have one of these little spells. And so it is allergies. I'm very confident in that. And so just bear with me as we go through the lesson this morning. Those who've been here over the last few weeks know that we are involved in a series dealing with the idea that deeds make a difference. Deeds matter. In the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through verse 23, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" And so Jesus makes it abundantly clear that if we hope to enjoy God's eternal blessings, if we hope for a fellowship, a relationship with Him, then we must be doers of God's Word. So often, we look at major events, things that stand out to us, or maybe something that another has done, and we realize that life is not made up of those major events. They simply do not come along all that often. Life is about doing the little things. And so we've been looking at the concept, the idea that little deeds make a big difference. We looked at the story of Moses in Egypt and Israel and how little things, little deeds, little actions made all the difference in the world for Moses' survival. Made all of the difference in the world for Moses becoming the deliverer through God's power of the people of Israel. And we talked about the little deeds that led up to Egypt's demise and destruction, really. And also Israel itself, as they rejected God. We talked about the little deeds of sympathy and empathy and compassion and how valuable they are. The fact that we choose to love and the people we love. We choose what to say, Ephesians 4, verse 29 through verse 32. And the fact that little words can have a powerful impact on listeners, for the better or for the worse. This morning, we're going to continue the study, and we're going to look at two of the three points that are made here in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 19. The first one we want to look at is the idea of being quick to hear. Being quick to hear. The word quick there has to do with one who is ready to hear. One who wants to hear. Plans to hear. And applies himself in that way. It's not necessarily talking about the speed with which we hear, but again, the readiness, the preparedness, the desire to want to listen to what is being said. And so we need to choose to carefully listen and to hear. The word hear means more than just the audible sounds that are taking place. It means more than you just simply recognizing the words that are being stated. It has to do with someone who is listening to a point where they want to understand. They want to comprehend and get the message, get what is important from that message. In the book of Luke, chapter 8, in verse 18, Jesus, in the midst of parables, tells his disciples to take care how they hear. And so it does make a difference how we hear. And again, it has to do with the attitude we bring to that when we are listening to someone else. We need to realize that many hear and yet they do not respond. They do not hear to understand. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, in verse 13, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. The point is, we need to listen to the whole message. Have you ever been in a discussion with someone, it may be even a heated discussion, or certainly one where you disagree, and maybe you know that person a little bit, you know something about their background, and it's possible you've even had part of the discussion before. And that individual begins to say something, and almost immediately they say something that you disagree with. And so what happens so often? Our listening stops right there. And we begin to stew and we begin to think. And we want to respond to that little bit of information that was given. We hear nothing more. We don't hear what follows. We don't hear a context. We don't hear maybe a qualifier. We just hear something that gets our attention in a way that is the only thing we focus on. Have you ever done that? And maybe not even in a situation where there is a heated discussion going on. Maybe you're talking to your husband or to your wife, maybe your children or your parents, and something is said, and almost immediately that's where it really ends as far as you paying attention to what is being said. It would be like someone picking up the Bible and just reading a passage here or there and stopping at that point and thinking that you've gotten the message. Do we really get the message by just reading a little bit of Scripture? You know, there are people who do that. There are people who base their faith, their understanding on so little of what the Bible says. They don't want to go beyond that. We need to listen to the whole message. What a difference that makes. Someone may begin a discussion in a way that upsets us, but if we had only listened, maybe it would not have been so deep, so cutting, so hard. Maybe if we'd only listened, they would have explained themselves in a way where really we were not upset at all. We need to listen to the whole message. And we certainly understand that in everyday living. When we go to work and we are talking with others in the company, others doing the same job that maybe we're doing, maybe people working together and they have to talk about things, we realize the importance of getting all that is said. Listen to the whole message. What a little thing that is. But it's so important, and when we don't do that, disaster strikes. Don't be fooled with plausibility. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 4, I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. Verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. The point Paul is making here is people can make things sound real good. and they can make things sound right. Oh, I want you to think about this for a moment. You can say almost anything and someone will believe you. That's the truth. You can say the world, the earth is flat, and there are people who will believe you. There are people who believe that still. And so just because something in your mind is absurd, foolish, silly, don't think that it is to everyone. When you look back in the history of religion, there have been some terrible events take place. You think about the Jim Jones incident where hundreds upon hundreds of people committed suicide or were forced to drink the Kool-Aid. You think about the David Koresh in Waco and what took place there. If you know anything about him and that religion, that faith, it was absolutely absurd, and yet it was plausible to those people. They listened to it, and they really thought he was the coming Messiah. And they did some absolutely foolish things because he said, do it. It was plausible to them. Don't be fooled by what you think, what you perceive as being plausible, as being maybe a legitimate argument or comment or statement. How many people in the world today believe in Islam? If you've ever done any reading on the Quran, or if you've ever done any studying, it is one of the most absurd faiths a person could possibly have. And yet millions upon millions upon millions of people believe it, and they believe it to the point where they're doing things in the name of Muhammad, in the name of Allah, in the name of their God, that are absolutely atrocious. And yet it's plausible to them. And so don't be fooled with plausibility as you listen to someone. Again, another reason why you need to listen to all of what they have to say. You might be able to pick out points here, points there that sound pretty good, that sound pretty reasonable, but what about the big picture? Don't be fooled with plausibility. The idea that man has a depraved nature. The idea that man cannot help but sin. The idea that God has already forechosen, foredecided those who would be saved and those who would be lost. The idea that man literally does nothing, has no responsibility in his salvation. These are all things that many people view as plausible. But when you look at them in light of the entire Scripture, they simply do not fit. Those ideas do not fit. Don't be fooled with plausibility. Listen. Be quick to hear. But realize that there are people out there who are deceiving. See to it, Paul said in verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to the human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Don't stiffen your neck against truth. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, in verse 23, yet they did not listen or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck, that they might not hear and receive instruction. In the book of Jeremiah, at least 27 times, this idea of not hearing, not listening is mentioned with regard to the people of Israel and how they responded to God's word and to God's message. At least 27 times. This same concept is mentioned in the New Testament time and time again as well. In fact, this idea is mentioned almost verbatim in the New Testament. They did not listen or incline their ear. In other words, they had no real interest. They were not being careful to listen and to hear what was being said. They stiffened their neck against truth. You know, Stephen accused the Jews in Acts chapter 7 of being stiff-necked and uncircumcised of heart. It cost him his life. They closed their ears. They stopped listening. Acts chapter 7 and verse 57. They cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. They didn't want to hear any more. They just simply stopped listening. You see, we cannot do that as God's people. We have to be able to listen to people. I don't mean that we should become gullible. I don't mean that we should be looking for something that is outside of Bible truth. You know, so often we, maybe we grow up and we're taught certain things. And we get to an age where we are on our own, and now we can go out and we can talk to others, or maybe our peers, people our own age. We get away from maybe dad and mom, or we get away from the congregation where we grew up, and we're looking for things, and we want to hear things. And there's nothing wrong with that, but understand that if you stiffen your neck against truth, understand if you stop listening to God's word because you become angry at what God says, because you become angry of God's justice. And there are many people who do that. There are many people who reach that point where they think, well, if God's that way, then I don't want any part of it. And they actually think that that makes a difference in what the outcome will be. What we need to understand is God's word is the foundation. God's word is the standard. It is going to be used to judge us. We need to listen to it. We need to hear it. Don't limit your listening to allies. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 3, the time will come when people will not endure sound teaching. You see, Paul had just encouraged Timothy to preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And the reason he did that was because of what he's saying right here. The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myth. And so we're talking about those who want to find allies to what they already believe or what they want to believe. If it's just too distasteful to believe that a person really has to be baptized in water for the remission of sins, then we look for those who are going to support that. We look for those who are going to help us accept that, that surely God is pleased with all people. We need to be careful about listening to allies. And really the bottom line is, we need to understand that there is only one standard of truth. It is the same standard for some 2,000 years now. It's the New Testament. It's God's Word. Quick to hear. But we also need to be slow to speak. You know, sometimes we talk too much. You know, right now, this is kind of my time, isn't it? And I'm up here and I'm going to be talking for another 40, 45 minutes. Now, I know that was not sincere. And that was But sometimes we talk too much. And I realize that we can be somewhat subjective in deciding that. I understand it may be variable as to when is too much. You know, sometimes just a few words would be too much. Sometimes 30, 40 minutes wouldn't be enough. So I realize that there's some subjectivity in all of this and variableness in all of this. Have you ever thought, why do people talk too much? In thinking about this, there are several things that come to my mind, at least. Sometimes when we're a little nervous, we're a little uncomfortable, intimidated, we feel like we have to say something. We feel like we have to talk. You know, if we're in a group of people and maybe we don't know them well. And so to try and I guess get past that, we just talk. We just talk. Sometimes we talk too much when there is an awkwardly silence. Have you ever been with one other person, maybe riding in a car, someone maybe you didn't know real well or you weren't real close to, but you found yourself there with this person in a car, maybe at a restaurant somewhere, and it gets quiet? Don't you feel like sometimes you need to say something, anything, just to kind of break the ice, just to get it going again? Sometimes we talk too much because there is an awkward silence. Sometimes we talk too much just because we want to fit in. We're with a group of people, and again, we like these people. We want to be friends with these people, and so we find ourselves, we're just talking. We want to make a good impression. We want people to appreciate how much we know. Sometimes we are just a little arrogant and condescending in this approach. And we think that, you know, our voice needs to be heard. Sometimes we talk too much. And according to James, we need to be slow to speak. Silence is something that we need to understand. Choose to say nothing or very little is sometimes good. In the book of Job, chapter 3, and verse 13, three of his friends go to him. They'd heard about his condition, his suffering, and so they go to him. They sat with him on the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his suffering was very great. 7 days and 7 nights. Not one spoke a word to him. Silence. Did Job need some encouraging? Did he need some support? Yes, he did. But at this point in time, what he needed most was silence. And they understood that. What were they going to say that would do any good, that would have any value? And of course, we find out going through the book of Job that much of what they said did the opposite. They went there, understand, to show sympathy and comfort. When Job's three friends heard of all this evil that had come upon him, that's when they came to him. They made an appointment together to come to show him sympathy and comfort, we are told there in verse 11. That's why they came. We cannot solve every problem. What we say is not going to take away the hurt that may be felt in someone's heart or the difficulties in someone's life. Words just simply do not have that power. We don't have all of the answers to the whys of life. Why did my child have to die? I can't answer that. I wish I could. Why am I sick? Why do I have cancer? I can't answer that. I don't have the words to answer that. I don't have the words to remove those difficult moments and times. There are simply moments when words are inadequate. When someone we love passes on, and friends and neighbors and brothers and sisters in Christ tell us how sorry they are. We know they are. When they say, if there's anything I can do to help, and we know that they're honest and sincere, but words are just inadequate. I'm not suggesting we should say nothing all the time. But realize the answer is not more and more and more words. The answer is not to speak too much. That doesn't solve the problem. People need to know that you're there. People need to know that you care. All of that is true. And you can demonstrate that sometimes better without words. Know your place. Slow to speak. Know your place. What do I mean by that? Well, go to the book of Job, chapter 32, and I would encourage you to read this on your own. We don't have time this morning, but verses 1 through verse 12. The point is, there was a fourth man that went to be with Job, Elihu. He was younger than the other three. And he became angry at the other three and at Job, because Job tried to defend himself, justify himself. In verse 3, he burned with anger also at Job's three friends because they had found no answer, although they had declared Job to be in the wrong. You see, what they had said to Job in all of these verses that we read, just wrong. He says in verse 6, Elihu says, I am young in years, and you are aged. Therefore, I was timid and afraid to declare my opinion to you. Drop down a little further. In verse 9, it is not the old who are wise, nor the aged who understand what is right. Therefore, I say, listen to me, let me also declare my opinion. Behold, I waited for your words, I listened for your wise sayings, while you searched out what to say. I gave you my attention, and behold, there was none among you who refuted Job or who answered his words. Elihu is saying, look, I waited my turn. You were older, you were more mature, you were the wise. He says, but listen, age does not guarantee wisdom. And what they had been arguing was foolish. But he knew his place, and he waited his turn. And that's the point we need to understand. Sometimes we need to know our place. If we are in a company of older people, and they are having a conversation, and we happen to be 15 or 20 years old, would we want to dominate that conversation? Would we want to talk too much, or would we want to listen to the wisdom that is there? And again, we understand, as is indicated here in Job 32, that age is not a guarantee of wisdom. But it does mean that the young need to respect and honor their elders. And so, be slow to speak. Know your place. Listen before you speak. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. We read that a moment ago with regard to listening. But the idea is, how in the world can we give an appropriate, acceptable answer unless we listen first? understand before you speak. In verse 2, going back a little bit, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Think about that for a moment. Have you known people like this, that they have an opinion about everything? Again, it doesn't matter how absurd it is, or the fact that they know very little, or the fact that maybe they're talking to someone who knows much more. Understand before you speak. You don't have to say everything you feel. In Proverbs chapter 29, in verse 11, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. You know, we live in a day and time when people feel like that they have a right to say anything they want to say. If it comes to their mind, if they feel this way, say it, blurt it out. It doesn't matter. That's their right. We see a lot of things going on in our own country right now of people like this. And how sad that is. We don't have to say everything we feel. Sometimes we would be better served to quietly hold it back. You don't even have to say all that you know. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 12, whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. Look, just because you know something about someone else, that doesn't mean you need to say what you know. That doesn't mean you need to reveal what you know. The Bible is clear about the ideas of whispering and backbiting and gossip, slander. The child of God simply will not allow himself or herself to be caught up in that. You don't have to say everything you know. Now, there may be a time, and in fact, there are times, when you need to tell someone else. I understand that. I get that. But be careful. What are some great words to live by? Proverbs 17, verse 27 through 28. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Again, I think these are pretty good words to live by. We don't need to be or have to be the center of attention. It's okay to just sit back and listen and maybe to throw in a comment every now and then. We don't have to hear ourselves speak. Now again, we understand the value of both of these qualities. The ability to hear and to understand, and the ability to speak and to convey our message. Both have a place, no doubt. I am trying to communicate a message this morning. A message that is biblical, a message that is important. These are little things that we can do. We can listen better and we can step back and not talk too much. And be careful what we say. If we do that, what a big, big difference that could make in our lives and our relationship with other people. Just by doing those two things. What a difference that would make in the Lord's church. If you're not a Christian this morning, I hope and pray that you'll make your life right with God. I hope you understand that it is simple, a little deed to come forward, confess your faith in Jesus, and be baptized. Those are little things, but what a tremendous impact those little things have in your life. If you're a child of God and maybe you've forgotten the little deeds and you're stumbling, you're wavering, then you need to ask God to forgive you. You need to come back to Him. I would invite you to come to respond as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.